today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Sedona says no to the Golden Arches. Oakland is changing the name of their airport again. And Hertz renters are furious over the company's newest bogus way to nickel and dime their customers.
Everyone knows about the 24-hour free cancellation rule on airline tickets, right? Well, it's true with the airlines, but it's not followed by everyone. At 11:22, our Smarter Travel part of the show reminds us about the biggest of consumer protections.
The State Fair, the California State Fair, is just around the corner. We have a complete update on hours, activities, and what's happening at the fair at 11:35.
We've talked previously about the Galapagos Islands on the show. The exotic destination is on a lot of bucket lists. Travel gal Sydney Schellinger joins us at 11:50 to give you a few tips on the Galapagos based on her recent visit.
We are right in the middle of a big holiday weekend. The two guys on the radio are grateful you made time for us between the hot dogs and the fireworks. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark and Tom with you. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. First of all, I hope you had a fabulous 4th of July, a safe one, we hope. All the smoke is clear. Did you know, Mark, that by law, you can start shooting off fireworks the same day they sell them, anytime that week, and then it finalizes on the 4th of July evening, and you're not allowed to shoot off fireworks today on the 5th. So, you know, if you're in a situation where you need to have an early party, you can do that. I think a lot of people don't know that. We took advantage of that based on family schedules and shot off our street fireworks, if you will, out on the street a week ago.
I see. I see. Yeah. Well, watched the fireworks at Cordova High School last night and the Rancho. Not as many fireworks celebrations around after that horrible situation. What's that, up in Esparto, up by Winters?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
so
I didn't see the master list, but yeah, there were a lot of folks that had to come up with an alternative. What do you do? What's your alternative if you can't have fireworks on 4th of July?
Yeah, I especially when you have like 24 or 48 hours notice, and the heck with the fireworks. God, a lot of people lost their lives in that explosion and fire, and good grief. I mean, it just a horrible thing. I mean, really and truly, what a horrible story to open a holiday weekend with, but
They'll be digging into that for quite some time in regards to fire safety that goes along with that. The good news is that it was stored out in a country area or open fields and so forth, where the nearest properties were at least a half a mile away or more.
Do you know how much work you can get done in your office on a holiday weekend when there's nobody around to bother you?
No,
a
I don't.
A whole lot.
You do a whole lot. Is that right?
No. I do my best work sometimes during these times, because you can just, I mean, 3 whole days, and, you can come in whenever you want and go home whenever you want. People say, why are you working on a holiday weekend? Well, if you own your own business, then you're probably not asking that question, because you're just sitting there going, there probably are other people who are listening who are going, yep, I'm kind of doing the same thing, using the weekend to give it, you take some stuff home with you, work on the computer, whatever. Anyways, we have a full program of some great travel stories here, so maybe we should get to it.
At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, one of the first things we try to do is bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, once again, Mark Hoffman.
I ignored all these stories over Memorial Day weekend, all the ones that come out and say, boy, a lot of people are going to be traveling. We're expecting record crowds, because every year the population is greater, and every year, therefore, there are a few more people on the road. And so I thought the most interesting part of this weekend of everybody's going to be traveling was a story that came out during the week that said two Sundays ago tomorrow, in Chicago at O'Hare Airport, they set a single-day screening record. Wasn't even a holiday weekend, so I'm sure they've probably shattered that this weekend. 114,000 people were screened at O'Hare in one day. One day. Wow. If you were in line for security and you didn't have pre-check, or even if you did at O'Hare on the 22nd of June, you probably knew that there were 114,000 people in line.
As we were basking in nearly perfect weather, I was just overwhelmed with sadness watching the people on the East Coast with the storms and the floods and the delays and the cancellations. It was horrible.
This is why a particular tour company that I know about goes to Washington, D.C. and New York and Boston and Cape Cod and stuff like that and gets all of those out of the way by early June. Sometimes you can run into some bad weather, but at least you're not bad weather and heat. You know, at least you don't get caught in a rain shower and then a sauna right afterwards. So, the weather is sucky back there. It makes you glad to live in California. Hey, on Monday, a week from Monday, I'm headed with a bunch of folks over to Fort Bragg. Yeah. I just looked up the advanced weather forecast for those 4 days. They're all in now. 64, 64, 65, 65.
There you go. Yeah, I have friends.
Hello,
like
Fort Bragg.
There. Yeah, that's great.
Hey, yesterday, Tom, we got a brand new air service to Morelia, Mexico, on Volaris. This is their fourth destination. This started yesterday. It's going to be 4 weekly flights. So now you can go to, on Volaris, you can go to Guadalajara, Mexico City, León, and Morelia. All on, so our international service, you know, one of these days, we're going to have a flight to Europe or something like that. That'll be an exciting time. But anyway, many more opportunities. Many of them are red-eye flights, come in the evening, and like the East Coast flights here in the States, and go out as red-eyes. But more ways to get to Mexico from Sacramento. And let's see here. What's our next story? Oh, this is kind of – many of the airlines are doing away with their free – overnight stays. A lot of the European airlines, especially those in Scandinavia, would allow you to stay in their country. You know, if you were going, let's say, to Italy, you could fly to Iceland, spend a week or a few days, and then go on to Italy, and your airfare would not, there wouldn't be an additional charge, be the same airfare as if you flew straight through. A lot of airlines are getting rid of those benefits, but not everybody. Copa Airlines allows you up to 7 days in Panama. That's Panama's airline. They're connected with the United Group. Iceland Air is still allowing an up to free 7-night stay in Iceland. Finnair has some terrific deals if you're going to Europe on business class deals. Now, you know, maybe you're using your points or your miles or something like that. But if you're not, some really terrific prices on destinations like Krakow and Prague, Norway. Anyway, many of the prices are from New York JFK, so you have to get there. But if you're somebody who wanted to treat yourself to a really upscale airline ticket, Finnair has some terrific deals. Speaking of airlines and where they might be going, Southwest Airlines, which has ditched its open seating policy and has started charging to check bags, is now considering airport lounges, more premium seating, and long-haul flights to Europe, their CEO says. Quote, whatever customers need in 2025, 2030, we're not going to take any of that off the table. We'll do it in the Southwest way, but we're not going to say we would never do that. I will just suggest to you that the, quote, Southwest way is now becoming the United American Delta way, because the things that really distinguish Southwest from their competitors are mostly going away. And not everybody is unhappy about that. Yeah. Lots of people are going to be really happy that they can purchase a seat on a Southwest flight, so good for them. In the headlines, we mentioned about Hertz, and we've talked about this before on the program, but this is becoming more of an issue for Hertz in terms of dinging people when they get back, when their rental comes back. Now, Hertz now has a tunnel that they send the cars through, and hypothetically, they've sent the car through it before it goes out on the rental. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes back, the technology detects any little dings or dents or things that otherwise they, you know, a visual inspection might not see. People who rent Hertz cars are getting bills from Hertz for hundreds of dollars for things the size of a dime or a quarter. Things that could have been caused by, you know, gravel kicking up from the road or something like that.
In fact, I saw a little video of the actual X-ray tunnel, if you will. It also indicated that sometimes it will inadvertently pick up a big chunk of dirt or debris or something on the side of the car and say mm-hmm. that it's a dent. So yeah. It's not very accurate.
I went on to a Reddit website that's dedicated to people who are angry about this. To say that there are more than a few would be a huge understatement. People are really, really, really mad. I mean, I've not seen anything like this before. And Hertz has always had a reputation for being a, yeah, let's go after them sort of company. So we tell folks on this program that the best way to fight back against this is to take pictures of the automobile with your phone before you leave the rental lot. And when you get back, the advantage of that is all those pictures will be time dated by your phone. So it'll be very obvious when they were taken and when any damage might have occurred. People who are taking pictures are still getting bills and having to fight back and contest against Hertz for this. I have a recommendation at this point. I'm a guy who rented from Hertz pretty loyally for about 30 years, I would say. I'm the highest, whatever the grand poobah rating is in their frequent traveler thing. I don't rent from Hertz anymore. I rent from Enterprise/National. I just don't want the hassle. Yeah. So my recommendation to you as a travel guy is tell Hertz to stuff it. If they can't get their act together, and as you mentioned, you know, they're charging people. That's what people are saying. You know, you couldn't see that was a piece of dirt, and you wouldn't have, you know, in the picture that you sent to me, you wouldn't have seen that and said, you know, this is frivolous. But no, they're going after people anyway. So my recommendation at this point is just take Hertz off of your list. If you have status with Hertz, if you call Avis or Budget or one of the other companies, I'm certain that they would be delighted to provide you with that same status if you would rent from them. So anyways, that's just a personal opinion kind of slipped in there. One thing you should never put in a TSA bin. We got to get our guys on and ask them about this and what to do instead. What's the one thing that you should never leave laying open in a TSA bin? And I thought wallet, but no.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed.
Yeah, phone.
Oh, your phone, yeah.
Phone, yeah. In this particular article from Travel and Leisure, a couple of TSA officials are quoted anonymously. That the one thing that most disappears out of trays is a phone. So if you're putting, you know, obviously you can't carry your phone through security with you. You've got to put it in your tray, put it inside. If you've got a briefcase, then obviously that's what I do. I put it inside the pocket of a briefcase right. with my wallet and all of that stuff. If you've got a purse, same thing. A jacket is perfectly acceptable. If you've got any piece of clothing that you're taking off, just put the phone, wad it up, and put it inside of that. When you get to the other side and pick up the piece of clothing, your phone will fall out of it. And so anyway, at least some TSA people are saying, you know, they're not saying this is a huge problem, but the only problem that they really ever have with is somebody doesn't have their phone. So make sure that you put your phone in a safe place before you pass through security. Let's see here. Remember last year when the door flew out of the Alaska Airlines plane?
Sure, yeah. That's been all over the news and still just recently.
Yep. The National Transportation Safety Board says that inadequate training, guidance, and oversight of Boeing factory workers led to the blowout of the door plug. But it also said that the FAA was lax in its oversight of Boeing's procedures, workflow, and operations. So it kind of sounds like the system let those people down. Fortunately, if you don't remember, this was a flight that took off from Seattle just a few minutes after it took off. The door flew out. One of the emergency exit doors flew out of the airplane. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. The plane was able to re-land. But in this case, at least they've gone through it and figured out that it was sort of human error.
Yeah, they forgot to put the bolts on that hold the door in. And nobody and whoever is in charge of, you know, backup checking of bolts being put on missed that. So, I mean, it didn't just randomly happen. There was certainly a breakdown, and you can see why they've been lambasted by it. And, you know, and in many ways, you can feel comfortable that it's probably not going to happen again.
Oakland has changed the name of their airport again. They went to, they tried to call themselves San Francisco Bay Oakland International, but that got a lawsuit from the other side of the bay. So now Oakland is going to call itself the Oakland San Francisco Bay Airport in hopes that that will fly. And see, Big Macs were coming to Sedona. Sedona said, well, you know, those golden arches are kind of gaudy, and that doesn't really fit the decor of our community. So they talked McDonald's into turquoise arches. The McDonald's in Sedona has turquoise arches on the front of it. Sedona is known for its turquoise. I've got other stories, but we are out of time. That is your travel news for today.
We're the travel guys, Mark and Tom. When I ask you, how much did you spend on your last fast food order? You know, instead of just eating, how about dining out instead? You know, Rudy's Hideaway Lobster House is the place in Sacramento for fresh seafood and hand-cut steaks since 1970. And they got a special starting up this month. It starts actually on July the 7th, so don't run down there before then. Here's what they've got. Prime rib and scampi, featuring their delicious herb-crusted, slow-roasted choice-aged prime rib, large shrimp sautéed with garlic, white wine, and capers. You can't beat it. The sautéed shrimp is one of my favorites of all time. It includes their famous warm sourdough bread, a fresh asparagus, and baked potato, all for only $34.95, Mark. Just think about it. Instead of a fast food that's probably going to cost you almost two-thirds of that, you can dine in at Rudy's. All right. That's Rudy's, located right off Highway 50 and Hazel. Okay? Tell them the travel guy sent you. All right, Mark. Let's talk about that rule that everybody knows about. If you book a flight with your airlines, that you got 24 hours if you want to cancel it with no charge.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Well, this is a rule that came about a number of years ago. Our friends at Travelers United, Charlie and his gang, and other consumer advocacy groups played a huge role in making this happen. And basically what they were saying is that if you bought a ticket and you know, people, there's a mistake, you made a mistake, you bought it on the wrong day. I've done this myself. The whatever, you bought it on the phone or something like that, there was a misunderstanding, there's some issue with the ticket, you've decided to go earlier in the day, you're messing around on the internet, you found a fare that's $150 cheaper if you go at a different time or come back at a different time. So you say, well, you know, I mean, maybe this is homework you should have done ahead of time, but you have that 24-hour window that was created. If you bought a domestic airline ticket, in almost every fare class, there are a couple of exceptions, but almost every fare class, if the flight is at least 7 days in advance, you can cancel the ticket without penalty for 24 hours after you bought it. So you bought it at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. You've got until 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon to cancel a ticket without penalty. Domestic airline ticket, 7 days at least before the outbound flight goes, you can cancel without penalty if you bought the ticket from the airline.
Now, keep in mind, we're talking about 24 hours from the time that you purchase the ticket, not 24 hours from the time the flight takes off.
That's correct. And also, if you bought the ticket at 7 in the morning, then technically you have until 7 the next morning to cancel the ticket. So if you decide the next afternoon to cancel a ticket and you call the airline and they say, well, gee, you bought this 34 hours ago, so it's not cancelable for free, they would technically be correct. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that every airline would necessarily be that tight ass about the whole thing, but probably some would. But it's a buyer beware situation.
Well, what about if you buy your ticket from, I don't know, Booking.com or some of the third party? They bought the ticket for you on behalf of you through the airlines. Would mm-hmm. that not be true with them as well?
And every one of those companies has their own set of rules. I looked online at several of them. TripAdvisor is the closest to what the Department of Transportation rule is. Booking.com, not so much. So there are God knows how many different third-party sites where you can buy airline tickets out there. all advertising you the best price and the best deal and all that stuff. I'm just telling you that in some cases, those fares can vary a little bit. That site may be getting something of a commission, and they may be deciding to give up a little bit of that commission. They might have a special deal with a secondary airline or something like that, one of the budget airlines. But if you are buying a ticket, a domestic air ticket, and it's to fly in the United States, my wisdom to you is this. Don't buy it from anybody except the airline. Go online or on the phone, buy it directly from the airline. Not only do you get this benefit, this 24-hour cancellation benefit, but if anything goes wrong along the way, I'm a United flyer, and United now regularly sends me notifications, and I got a ticket that I'm flying in 3 months. They say, hey, you're eligible to change this for free because we've changed the schedule on you, you know, and now there's a four-hour layover where there used to be a one-hour layover. You might want to do something different. And we're alerting you to that, which I think is a great service by the airline. They're not saying you can cancel. They're just saying if you need to make some different arrangements, you can do that. So I think if you buy your ticket directly from the airline, you're in a much better position when it comes – if you have – even if it's more than 24 hours out, when you have a situation where something comes up and you need to – plus airlines answer their telephones still. That's something to be said. A lot of hotels, a lot of other folks, good luck with calling booking.com.
Right. Well, okay. Word to the wise.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Sports Leisure Vacations takes folks to lots of regional theater presentations. We frequently visit Broadway shows in San Francisco, and here's a great one in Modesto at the Gallo Theater coming up on November the 18th. Emmy Award-winning actor Richard Thomas is starring in Mark Twain Tonight, written by the late Hal Holbrook. It's a terrific show. If you've never seen it, it brings a legend to life. Dinner is included prior to the show. It's at the Gallo Center in Modesto on Thursday, November the 18th. It's a day trip. Comes in the afternoon, comes back in the evening. You can check it out at sportsleisure.com or give us a call on Monday at 916-361-2051. Richard Thomas in Mark Twain Tonight, Tuesday, November the 18th at the Gallo Center Theater in Modesto. Really, really a great theatrical presentation. Richard Thomas is the only guy licensed to do this particular character in this show. Hal Holbrook used to do it. He's the guy who wrote it. It really is a great show. If you are a student of history and or the theater, it's something that you might enjoy. Give us a call or check it out online at sportsleisure.com.
Hey there, it's the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. A link to what we're going to be talking about and a list of all the fun things to do at this year's California State Fair will be posted at travelguysradio.com. And returning with us again, as always at this time of the year, Darla Givens, Media and Community Outreach Director, California Exposition and State Fair. Darla, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Well, hey there, you guys. Thanks for having me back. And can you believe it's that time of year already?
Every year seems to get shorter. I know this year, our dates again, July 11th through the 27th for the California State Fair. Tell us about the new hours, Darla.
Yeah, so we have new hours on Monday through Thursday. Our gates open at 4 p.m. Keep in mind, when we start seeing those triple digits, I know we hate talking about triple digits, but it's a reality in July. We normally see about the triple digits starting at noon and go until about 5 o'clock with the peak heat. Well, this time, if you come in at 4 o'clock, you don't have to worry about just a couple hours of dealing with the heat. But we're still open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 10 a.m. So if you do want to come and beat the crowds, you still have those opportunities to come early.
I do want to ask you, though, if you do get there at those early morning hours or you're looking for a place to cool off, where at the State Fair this year are they going to have some cooling stations?
So we have 7 cooling zones. They're by Kaiser Permanente cooling zones. There are 7 of them located strategically throughout the fairgrounds. They're big white tents. You'll have these big fans and a seating area. So that way when you do walk outside and you just want to take a break quickly, you can go under our cooling zones. Or we also have 13 air-conditioned buildings, and our buildings got new HVAC systems this year. So it's going to be nice and cool, and that includes our expo buildings. We have 8 of them there where you can go cool off, and also our Michelob Ultra Grandstand. That's nice and cool. And in our Tractor Big Barn pavilion, where all the animals are, we have big old fans. I'm calling them big old fans, but they're actually called something else, Tom.
Darla Givens with the California State Fair with us. Darla, let's talk about ticket prices this year for the State Fair. What's the general admission going to be?
If you buy your tickets before July 11th, that is the day that fair starts. So you have until July 10th at 11:59 to get your family fun pack. That is $49.99. You get 4 admission tickets, 4 ride or monorail passes, or and a parking pass, I should say, not or, but and a parking pass. But after that, we do still have some deals going on post-opening day. So we do have a Costco family pack that is $32.99. You get 2 tickets, a $10 food voucher. And then also Save Mart this year is going to, you can get discount tickets, both admission and ride wristbands at Save Mart throughout the run of the fair. So just go there, purchase your tickets, and you'll get a discount there as well. So we're always looking for ways to make it affordable for families to come. And if you want to give back to the community and save at the same time, we do have our SMUD Giving Fridays. It is a new day, so each Friday of the California State Fair, bring 5 non-perishable, non-expired food items. You get a ticket into the fair for free for that day until 2 o'clock.
Now, they have a kids' day again this year with $2 rides. Kids 12 and under get in free, and rides are only $2 for everyone. What day is kids' day?
Kids Day is every Tuesday, and also on July 22nd, which is another Kids Day, we have Poppy's birthday party, so come out and enjoy that celebration. And so we want to make sure that it's affordable for everyone. And on Mondays now also, we have $2 entry fee for the first 2 hours of the fair, and that's for everybody. So on the Mondays of the fair, you get in for $2. That's between the hours of 4 and 6 o'clock.
Well, let's talk about some of the fun stuff. This new this year is a Butler Amusement, and they have a new ride. Tell me about it.
They do. It's called The Invader. It's coming straight from the Netherlands, and it stands 45 feet tall. From what I understand, they're 2 cage-like things attached to this ride, and it spins you around. That's for those thrill seekers. That's not me. But also, Butler on Wednesdays, they're offering $10 off of their ride wristbands as well. And back this year from Butler Amusements is the King XXL. That was the new ride that was rolled out last year. Well, it's back, and you expect the lines to be long for that one, too.
Also coming back this year, I understand, a big treat for everybody, and that is the All Alaskan Racing Pigs.
If you've never seen it, it is the most hilarious thing you've ever witnessed. You have these pigs running out the gate, and they're making their noises to see who can be the biggest ham, I guess, at the end of the finish line there. But yes, it's coming back for the second time. It is going to be absolutely fun for the entire family.
And this year, you guys have the only self-contained traveling sea lion show, Sea Lion Splash. Where on the fairgrounds will that be occurring?
So we're going to have the Sea Lion Splash outside of Building D. That's the tent there, right near the kids park. So it'll be between the kids park and also our pavilion. So we have a map. As you walk through the gate, you'll be able to get a map at some of our gazebo stations, our information centers, and you can navigate your way around the 350 acres that we have across the fairgrounds.
We're with Darla Givens. California State Fair is just around the corner, coming up on July 11th. Let's talk food. I don't even know where to begin. Your list of good eats and all is so extensive. Why don't you just share a few with us that are your favorites?
Okay, so we have about 90 plus, almost 100 food vendors. The one that I go to all the time, if I want to be healthier, is Chillin' and Grillin'. They have this really big chicken kebab. I think it'll feed a family of four. But of course, we can't forget about the fair favorites. We have Milo's Corn Dogs. And back this year, we took a hiatus last year from the Milo's Corn Dog competition, eating competition. But it's coming back this year because, you know, unfortunately, we lost Milo Franks last year. And so his son is taking over the reins and he's bringing back the competition, the corn dog competition. It is something definitely a sight to see. So if you're able to come out and, you know, we talked about ways to save. The season pass, that's a great way to save as well, because you can come back every day of the California State Fair and take in everything that's happening throughout the 17 days, because that corn dog eating competition, the preliminaries are on July 18th, and then come back from for the finals on July 19th.
All right. Finally, I see that California Dreamin's back, the cannabis exhibit for those that are interested, and you have a huge list of artists this year. Give me a couple of highlights.
Any night, we do have Ludacris. That concert is sold out for those premium seats, but come out anyway because the concerts are free. There are standing room only areas that you can get into. And then also for those extra few seats that we have available, it's first come, first serve, and those seats are free. The whole opening weekend, we have Bret Michaels and then Air Supply, very popular. So we have everything from country to R&B to hip hop. And then we also have some tribute bands in there as well. Blank Space for the Taylor Swift fans, those Swifties. We have a Taylor Swift tribute band. We also have Queen Nation and a Sacramento favorite, Tesla.
Yes.
Is coming to town.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Great lineup. Too many things to mention all at one time.
Yes.
Remember, go to travelguysradio.com and we'll have a breakdown for you there. Oh, I'm exhausted, but boy, I'll tell you, I'm excited for the fair. Always a great time. Darla, you got your work cut out for you. Thank you for joining us today on the Travel Guys.
Thank you so much, and I hope to see y'all all at the California State Fair this year.
Well, everything, and I mean everything that you need to know about the State Fair, right in there. Great job, Tom. One thing that's about the State Fair this year, I have to mention this, little bit of a bummer. For the first time in 150 years, no thoroughbred horse racing at the California State Fair.
Yeah. Well, a lot of places are suffering the horse racing thing. It's all over the state of California. Not enough horses in Northern California to put on a meet.
Well, and with all the problems that we had with horses dying and the like, and they haven't quite figured that out anyway. Anyway, the State Fair, wonderful, wonderful opportunity. I love the fact that they're not opening until afternoons on the weekdays and stuff like that. So get yourself out there. Take your family out. Or if you're just a teenager, you know, we used to head out to the State Fair maybe like three times over the course of its run during the summer.
Time to bring back the travel gal, Sydney Schellinger, with a company called The Poodle Booked It. And Sydney has just returned from a small ship excursion. More than that, a trip to a place that a lot of people have heard of and a lot of people don't even know where it is, the Galapagos Islands. Welcome to the Travel Guy, Sydney.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to talk about the Galapagos today. I will actually tell you, and this might hit some people, it is one of those places that I am not a huge naturalist. It is a place that people go when they want to see, you know, all the unique birds and wildlife. That's not my normal cup of tea, but I will tell you it was one of the most amazing trips of my life. We went there at the perfect time, and they were doing a bunch of, like, bird mating dances, and being able to see just nature up close was absolutely amazing. When you go there, they have something called the Big 15. So similar to like an African safari and the Big Five, they have the top 15 animals that you can see while you're in the Galapagos. And so that was something that we were able to kind of check off that list. You know, the blue-footed boobies, you have the The sea lions, we were able to swim with them, turtles, tortoises. It was just absolutely amazing to be so close to nature when they aren't afraid of humans. So you could get, you know, up to 6 feet and they, you know, they don't run away. They're just, you know, they're enjoying their land.
Boy, Mark, for somebody who has never really thought about doing something like this, I can tell Sydney is really amped about her last trip.
Sydney, for those of us and those in the audience who are geographically challenged, where are the Galapagos Islands?
Yeah, so it's actually in South America, and it is about 400 or 600 miles off the coast of Ecuador. And so you're going to kind of be close to, it's above Peru, so when you think of like Machu Picchu, and near Costa Rica. So it's in that region of the world. It's not an awful flight.
How do you get there? Do you stay in Ecuador?
Yeah. So the best way, you know, you have to fly to Quito or Guayaquil. Those are the two spots where you can start to get to the Galapagos. You do have to fly there. It's about a 3 hour flight from Quito. My program actually did 2 days in Quito before we went to the Galapagos. And I will tell you that that was also a hidden gem of a destination for myself. They have a beautiful Spanish architecture and things of that nature, but it's just such an up and coming destination that I think a lot of people should put on their list for sure.
Well, and it is on a lot of bucket lists. So you're going to, this is basically an ocean excursion. That's how you experience the Galapagos.
Oh, yes. So once you fly to the Galapagos, there are some people who try to do land only. It's just not how I'd recommend it. It is now when you do an expedition cruise, this is not your typical cruise ship where you think of Carnival or things of that nature. The max amount of people on a Galapagos cruise is going to be 96 people. Because the rules in the Galapagos are that you can only have 100 people on one island at a single time. So you're not going to have overcrowding. They're very strict on the amount of, you know, permits they give out for these ships. But going on a ship, either, you know, private or on one of these expedition ships is the way to go.
What would you recommend, Sydney, for people other than obviously that they call you or Sports mm-hmm. Leisure Vacations will probably offer this in 2027. So I would, you know, obviously tell them to call me. But all of that aside, how do folks get hooked up with the Galapagos Islands?
So there are multiple different ways. There are a couple of cruise lines that you guys have probably heard of that do the Galapagos. You are going to have Celebrity has a small ship there. Lindblad or Nat Geo, they have a combo, as well as Intrepid. I did HX, which is Hurtigruten Expedition, and that is going to be a great line for those who are wanting to do more of a larger ship experience. It has the 96 people on board, but they have everything taken care of for you. So once you start your trip in Quito, from start to finish, there's someone there making sure that you feel safe and comfortable, that you don't feel like lost or anything, and that there are expedition teams that honestly were so excited about everything on the islands that it made you more excited about it. One of our guides was, you know, I told her I hadn't seen one of the sea iguanas yet, and she was like, we are going to find one before we get off this island. And she searched everywhere until we were able to see one. And I had to tell her, I was like, I am not that excited about it. But she's like, no, you're going to love it when you see it. But it's definitely something where they just, you know, how much love they have for what they see makes you get more excited about the nature.
Sydney, before you go, I want to just, this sounds like, I haven't personally been to the Galapagos, but it sounds like a place that just about anybody could go to that because, I mean, you can do snorkeling and kayaking and stuff like that, or you can do you can stay on the ship and watch the wildlife. Is that a fairly accurate description?
It is, but it is a very very active trip. They do not have elevators on the ship, so you do have to be able to walk up some pretty steep stairs up and down. You do want to be semi-active. So it's, I just want to put that in mind. If you are someone who can do three flights of stairs, if you are someone who can get on and off, so you have to get off on a Panga or a Zodiac to get on the ships. So you have to be willing to like climb up onto the ship and things of that nature. It's not the, you know, easy walk on that you think of with huge cruise ships.
We'll post on the Travel Guys website, travelguysradio.com, Sydney's information. She's got some insider advice that I think you'll get a lot out of. Sydney, thank you for spending a little bit of time here with the Travel Guys today.
Of course. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to share my experience.
You know, Mark, I think I made a career mistake there. I think I would have loved being a now known as travel advisor. Of course, you got a great job, too, but... You know, and I do know that travel advisors do oftentimes get the discounts from places when they go and talk about it and book people.
They do. But, dude, you've been on the radio for, what, you know, half a century or something like that? I mean, you've been on the radio for a while. Some people would say that, you know, the travel gig is a pretty good gig, but some people would probably argue that the radio gig is right up there, too.
I suppose, you know, the grass is always greener.
On the other side, yeah. Hey, I got a couple little things here before we go away. This is kind of entertaining. The National Park Service, you know, they're shorthanded and everything. So the new administration decided, not the White House administration, not the National Park Service administration, decided to give people an opportunity to flag negative content within the park. So, They said this national park belongs to the American people and the Park Service wants your feedback. Please let us know if you have any, one, areas that need repair, two, services that need improvement, three, any signs or other information that are negative about either past or living Americans or that fails to emphasize the beauty, grandeur, and abundance of landscapes and other natural features. Mm-hmm. And then it invites people to visit a website or scan a QR code. And what is happening is that people, instead of pointing out negative things, are going on the website and pointing out all the positive, wonderful things about the parks and their staff and their experiences there. And so it is kind of flipped around.
Right. That never happens.
Yeah. So that's kind of a fun thing, I thought. And just, you know, I mean, congratulations to the folks who are doing that. And one other thing I wanted to quickly mention here in the last minute, bed bugs. Uh-huh. We don't talk much about bed bugs on this program, but it is something that travelers run into in different places. We have a link at travelguysradio.com. If you're headed to a hotel in a particular city, you're thinking about booking a hotel, you can actually enter the city name, and then you can go down and see the bed bug reports for hotels in that area. Remember when you're looking, though, just because there was a bed bug report, look at the date, make sure that it wasn't, you know, 5 years ago, because I looked up some Sacramento hotels and I was like, oh my God, this is rampant all over town. And then I looked at the dates and realized that many of them were seriously outdated. And if that problem had continued, the hotel would have long since, there would have been lots and lots and lots more complaints online that were more recent. But anyway, bedbugreports.com or go to travelguysradio.com and you can find a link there and you can make sure that the hotel you're headed for doesn't have bedbugs.
Well, that's a wrap for today's Travel Guys. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend, my friends.
Remember to dance like nobody's watching.